ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-.
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello from sunny Margate.
I'm done with Charlotte and... Initially when I woke up this morning, the weather was not all that, but the sky is blue, there isn't a cloud in it, and because this is the second time we've had to record this episode, I'm feeling perky.
I feel like we might actually know what we're talking about, so hopefully this will be smoother.
It's going to be so streamlined.
We did it because we had some weird setting and it was really quiet.
We had sound tech issues, and I know our sound is something that people can get a bit up in arms about. So we really wanted to be a bit more perfect, and it sounded like we were in a fishbowl. Apologies for the little delay with last week's episode. The bank holiday always puts everything on hold in the UK.
Yeah, I think we got a bit too into the bank holiday spirit.
We really did.
Not the spirits, but, you know, just the spirit in general.
Just the overall UK vibe. But we're back and we're in Margate and I'm very excited to be chatting.
I'm going to introduce ourselves again. So I am Charlotte from Betty.
And I'm Liv from What Olivia Did.
And together we are
The Fringe of it.
We're going to get straight into this week's episode, as I say, because we've already done this. Maybe our other introduction was better, but I can't actually remember.
I know. It's one of those things that when you... It's like doing a video and not pressing record.
Oh, man, have you done that before?
I think I've done it once, or it was all out of focus. And You just have to think, do I put it up where I look like I've got like a hazy sheet over me, or do I just... It's very frustrating.
Yeah, you just got to start again. Let's do it.
Let's get on with it. So, welcome to The Fringe of It.
Episode number 12. Mm-hmm. Tell me what you've been up to this week, Liv.
Oh, so this week I've had the most glorious bank holiday. I feel like it really epitomised what a good bank holiday should
be. Yeah, that's when bank holidays are good. That is what... That's what you kind of... It was picture perfect.
It really was. Not only was the weather El Scorchio, it was a 27 degrees.
Oh, we didn't get that hot in Margate, thank goodness, because I would have cried.
On the Saturday, I went out in a jumper because I didn't trust the weather.
Yeah, you came to Margate today. I mean, to be fair, it was a bit cloudy, but Liv had... a t-shirt, a jumper and a jacket on. I've managed to take the jacket off her. She's not giving this jumper up
easily. It's all to play for. And I've got a cool t-shirt on underneath. So on Saturday, I went to an art exhibition. I went to the Picasso one at the Tate.
And how was that?
Oh, I felt like such a culture vulture. It was very good, though, because it was only focused on 1 year of his life. But my God, was he a productive man.
Yeah, Instagram wasn't around in Picasso's day. Very productive. I imagine you can get a lot done.
I know. No procrastinating or no talking about how busy you were. Just cracking on with it.
Busy being busy.
Exactly. He was very inspirational. So we did that. And then on the Sunday, it's the garden centre.
What did you get? More sage?
Oh, no, I got lots of things for the beds. I've packed out our beds. And luckily, my granddad is a gardener. So he helped to advise, because I do think otherwise you can go in and be like, oh, I like that. It's quite pretty.
But yeah, you can't go in on what it looks like then. You know, what's it going to look like in 2 months' time? And is it going to sit next to this plant?
How's it going to grow? Is it going to need the shade? Is it going to need the sun? What's it want?
Yeah.
What's the plant want?
Yeah, absolutely. It reminds me of, you know, when I used to watch Garden Force with Charlie Dimmock and Alan Titchmarsh, landscaping.
Oh, there's an art to it. So I did that and then I had a barbecue and I got the paddling pool out.
What did you put on your barbecue? Marks and Spencer's halloumi kebabs?
I didn't.
I thought she did.
I didn't know. It was at my mum's and she didn't do the shop at Marks and Sparks. Oh. Although, can I talk about something very exciting Marks and Spencer's related?
Oh, always.
Apparently they are starting home food deliveries.
Oh yeah, but only in certain areas. So it might deliver to you, but quite frankly, if it's not delivering to me, I don't care.
I found this out about 3 days ago, and I swore like a sailor.
This news has been out for like at least 2 weeks. Even I know about this.
Oh well, that's a shame. But yeah, that's what
that is exciting. Sorry, I'm being ever so rude.
Pee on my parade.
Can you tell me? Liv has been like an excitable child since she got to Man, and she's been dying to tell me about the concert she went to this week, but I won't let her because I said save it for the podcast.
So I went to see Florence and the Machine at the Royal Festival Hall, and oh, it was magic. It was, I don't ever know whether to call it a concert or a gig, because I felt like when I was younger, calling it a concert wasn't cool.
That makes you old.
Yeah, so, but at the Royal Festival Hall, I think it's an established concert venue.
Yeah, no, that is a concert.
And she is just unbelievable. I've seen her live a few times without being that guy that's like, I've seen her a few times.
I saw her when she was small.
I mean, I did see her in a record store when her first album came out. But, you know, we'll just push that
down. All right.
But she was amazing. She can command a room, and she can make any venue feel really intimate.
Because she's quite shy, isn't she?
She's really, really softly spoken and introverted. And the way she can just light up a room, and everyone was so transfixed by her that, like, she wasn't one of these artists that's like, put your phone away. She kind of just, she suggested to put it, like, for a point in one song, she was like, oh, let's enjoy this moment together. But because she is such an epic performer, you just want to put your phone away anyway, because you just want to be there.
And I think that's quite nice, because I think when people say, put your phone away, it just kind of gets your back up a bit, even if you weren't going to have your phone out that much.
You're like,
Whereas I think kind of, you know, enjoying a few moments
just
like,
without
yeah,
it.
Yeah, I think that's really nice.
I think when you've paid, like, I mean, these tickets, I think they're about £60 each. Like, when you've paid that...
It's pricey these days.
Oh, it really is. When you've paid that, you think, I'm entitled to take a photograph because I've paid a lot of money.
But at the same time, you know, you want to be part of the experience
and
the memories.
And you don't want to spoil it for other people. There's nothing worse than being in a crowd and someone's got their bright phone up in the air the whole time.
Yeah, if you're going to record, at least take your screen brightness right down.
I know, that's it. Can I have a bit of respect? But
God's sake, Daniel.
But yeah, that was a treat, and I've told you about the merch, which was... Oh.
The merch was so good.
It was some of the best artist merch I've seen. So there were three different components to this. There was a white T-shirt, which I've got on now, actually.
Is that what's underneath?
Mm-hmm. It's what's underneath the jumper, and it's like white... I'm going to be quite quick with this, because I can go on and on. A white T-shirt with like Times New Roman pink bold letters saying Florence.
Who knew Times New Roman was back?
It's so chic, you guys. So I had that, and then there were tote bags, which, admittedly, I don't need another tote for the rest of my life.
Yeah, but I've seen the tote. It's pretty cool.
It's gorgeous. It was £15, which again, there's a pinch. But it has this beautiful like hand-painted lettering on it that says Dream Team. And on the back, it's got this beautiful like handwritten script saying Florence the Machine with like a cross. It's so cool.
It's really, I would have paid £15 for that tote.
It was worth it.
I said this to you yesterday. I love buying merch. Sorry, I keep calling it merch, but you know. Merchandise. When you go to an exhibition or an event or a gig, I want something to take home, but I feel like people get merchandise so wrong. The Black Keys are a really good example of people that do it right. So they always get a local artist to do the poster for whatever city they're in, and they're limited edition. They're really, really nice. And actually, my friends who run Telegram, I think I've spoken about here on here before. But if not, check them out, actually. They've launched a new website, side note. And they used to do loads of band posters. And they're graphic designers, and that works really well. But when I went to, like, the Rolling Stones exhibition, I went to the gift shop, ready to give Mick Jagger more of my money. And there was nothing cool to buy, nothing.
It's really disappointing.
Yeah.
It's just like, I mean, I'm always so prepared to spend a ludicrous amount at gigs.
Because you just get swept up and you just want that feeling to last. And that's,
I know. Yeah. And I've got three drawers at home, which I'll have to show you, filled with band T-shirts.
Oh, this sounds like a feature coming on.
Oh, honestly, so many. And well, like I told you about the Horrors one that I have. And
oh, yeah, the Horrors with the Wimple Picker boot, yeah.
Oh, that was one of my first T-shirts. I've got so many, but...
My favourite one that I've ever bought is a Fleetwood Mac. It's red and it's got two... I'm doing this, but on the sleeves it's got two white stripes. It makes it look like
I have that.
Do you?
Yeah,
and it's red with the white Fleetwood Mac on. We have matching Fleetwood Mac t-shirts. That was a great t-shirt.
There are some good ones, but when it's just lazy, sometimes they are lazy.
Yeah, or one of the people that Jack listens to, his podcast, John Robbins, I don't know if it's him or I can't remember the other guy. I listen to them all the time, Alice John, and one of them is a big Queen fan. I can't remember which one, but he always says notoriously Queen merchandise is really bad quality, and it is. Like, I've got Queen t-shirts, and as soon as you put them in the wash, it's like they forgot where their side seam ever was and the fact they were ever white. They just go to that murky grey straight away.
Oh, do you know what? When Haim were touring in the US recently, they asked fans to design posters for their tour merch, and they were putting them on their Instagram, and everyone, I was like, if that was a t-shirt, I'd buy it. That was like amazing posters, and I was like, God, it shows if you get it right.
Yeah, there's books to be made.
Oh, there really are. But what have you been doing this week?
Sorry, I've really got swept up in merchandise.
I could go on. That could be today's theme, but alas.
Yeah, Florence and the Machine. Today's topic, I don't have a lot to say apart from I like her suits. What have I been up to? So we kind of, you know, there's people that have like really quirky signs where it says gone fishing or gone to the beach.
Yeah.
We didn't actually put one up, but we were at the beach for 4 days. Ugh. So I kind of, Friday, I think we recorded last week's podcast, and I said we were going to the beach, or it was Saturday, and we didn't come home.
I was going to say, like, you didn't sleep on the beach.
No, it gets cold at night time, but it was so nice. We went to Deal, went to a pebble beach, we were at Walpole Bay, which is in Margate, and we were in Margate as well, and it was just so nice because it's our last, it turns out that was actually our last weekend in Margate that we can enjoy as a family, because this weekend I'm in Dublin, and then the following weekend is kind of pack up and move. So it was just really, really nice. And I'm paying for it work-wise. Need to catch up. My house is a tip, as you've seen. But it was just really nice. We had lots of memories. This was the first time that we've kind of put her on the beach, and she just crawled and splashed around in the sea and just generally tried to eat a few pebbles, which we managed to intervene, thankfully.
That's cute. I just saw, I think you got a bit of a tan.
Oh, yeah, I have a tan line.
Oh, I've just noticed a tan line where your ring is, and I was like, wow.
Yeah.
Girl really did
it. You wouldn't actually know that was a tan unless you saw the ring, but yeah, I'm tanned.
Yeah, she's so tanned. You got an 8.
So that's what I've been up to. What else? No, I think we've just been at the beach.
Oh, shall we move on to telly talk then?
What have you been watching this week? I hear on the grapevine that you've watched a couple of films.
Oh, I know. It's exceptionally unusual for me. I feel like real culture vulture this week. But I have. First of all, I went to the cinema and I saw Amy Schumer's new film called I Feel Pretty. And I'd heard a lot of mixed things about this film in particular, a lot of critiques online.
Well, I want to know about it because I've seen the poster and that's all, and I have no idea what it's about just from that.
So, but let me fill you in. It's basically Amy Schumer is this New Yorker who kind of plays herself in a way, but she's lacking in a lot of self-confidence, and she basically goes to a soul cycle class, which I must elaborate is a soul cycle class. It's not a spin class. They really like to hone that in.
Do you think they got paid a little bit of money for that?
I mean, potentially. who knows?
They're not getting paid for the mention of on the fringe of it.
Oh yeah, no spawns by soul cycle here.
The soul cycle class, though, I feel has a lot more lights and a lot more going on than other spin classes.
I mean, it was mentioned a lot in the film. I can tell you all about it. And so she goes to this class and she's cycling and she falls off her bike and she hits her head, and then she comes out and looks in the mirror and then has developed all this self-confidence and thinks she looks amazing, which in fairness she does, like she's beautiful, but she kind of recognises that in a way. She's like, I look incredible, and then has this confidence to take on the world. And I really, really enjoyed it. And
it sounds good.
And I do see all sides of it because I know a lot of people have said that, you know, she's a white middle class, really successful, pretty woman. If self-confidence is the only thing that's kind of preventing her from going where she wants to in life, she's pretty lucky. Mm. And I do see a lot of the kind of issues people tap into, like there's not a lot of diversity. On the contrary, the thing that I did really recognise when I was in there is I went with my mum and there were lots of women in the cinema, and a lot of them came out feeling really good. And my mom,
you could feel that buzz.
Yeah, and my mum was saying, it made me feel really good. It's such an important message to, like, not let your confidence hold you back. And it makes you realise how those things are so surface level. And so in a way, you think, okay, there are a lot of things that could be improved, but the overall message is quite a positive one. And if it makes some people feel better, then surely that's a good thing.
Yeah, definitely.
I mean, obviously, I'm not a film critic. I can't go into all the depths and I can't look at it from every single angle.
Yeah, but it steps in the right direction, I think. I think there's so little films for women. I totally see where people are coming from. But at the same time, there's, I don't know, a little step in the right direction.
Yeah, exactly. There are flaws, obviously, but I did enjoy it. And it's a very light-hearted, feel-good film. I feel like if you're a fan of films she's in normally, you get it. You should know what you go in there, yeah. You know what to expect.
And what was the second film you
the
saw?
The second film, Busy Girl. I know, was Battle of the Sexes. So it's with Emma Stone and Steve Carell.
Okay, love both of them.
Oh, so
I'm kind
good.
Of upset that Ryan Gosling's not in it because I feel that every Emma Stone film now should just have Ryan Gosling.
Maybe he
in
made
it.
A cameo that I didn't see. I did fall asleep for part of it.
Were you exceptionally tired?
I really was, but I saw enough of it that I feel like I can mention it.
Oh, okay, that's fine. I have fallen asleep at the cinema before. I was heavily pregnant, but
yeah.
I was tired.
I mean, this was at home, so I feel like when you're in a sofa.
Oh, God. Yeah, no. Oh, I cannot stay awake at home. Yeah, that's a different story.
I'm so entitled to sleep at my home.
I thought you were at the cinema. I've only fallen asleep at the cinema twice.
Oh, I have. I fell asleep watching a James Bond film. And
which
Avatar,
one?
One of the most recent ones.
I hope it wasn't Skyfall because
no,
that film.
Skyfall is brilliant.
Oh my God, I remember the first time I saw Skyfall, I was on the edge of my seat.
Oh
and
my God, the tube scene, Judi Dench, like Scotland.
Oh, Scotland.
Oh, Scotland.
Scotland. Oh, Scotland looks amazing.
It is such a good, that's my fave James Bond film. I say that like I've seen them all. But
I've got goose pimples, that's how much I love Skyfall. I remember watching it for the first time and I was on the edge of my seat and my dad and Jack were like, are you okay? And I was like, has nobody shown me Skyfall before?
What is the name of the guy that plays the bad guy, the blonde guy?
Oh, he is evil.
But he's exceptional.
Oh, he is such an evil, evil villain.
Such a good
villain.
Actor, though. Oh, he's like perfect villain.
And not forgetting Adele.
Oh, need a Skyfall.
Oh, right, I'm just going to stop recording the podcast because I want to go and watch Skyfall.
I know, that can be our next date.
How did we get here?
Okay, so Battle of the Sexes.
Sorry, I have no idea.
Falling asleep, I did not fall asleep during Skyfall, but it's based around Billie Jean King, who is a hugely successful world champion tennis player. And it was about the kind of the tennis industry and how men were being paid a lot more and... I mean, because I'm not very good at describing these things, there's going to be a lot of flaws in my description, but essentially she goes on to play in a mixed sex competition, just a Grand Slam, and it's all about her story and her relationship with her husband and her new partner, and it's just really inspiring. It's quite an empowering film, great costumes.
When's it set?
It's in the 70s,
oh, yeah.
I think.
I'm into this.
Yeah, like... just, yeah, it's all going on, great set, and yeah, it was a very inspiring film.
Oh, I need to go and watch
an
that.
Easy watch, a nice
oh,
easy
no,
watch.
I don't need to go and watch it, I can watch it from the comfort of my own home.
You can just watch it
from
the comfort of
what,
watch
what
it
was it on?
It was on, I don't know, I think we watched it on Virgin.
Oh yeah, I do like a Virgin. Well, my mum and dad have Virgin, so when I go say my mum and dad, I buy a film.
Yeah, I know.
Off my dad's Virgin account, because I am 12.
For like $10.99.
They're pricey
some
on Virgin.
That's why we're sometimes reluctant, because we're like, oh, we could just go and buy the DVD.
Yeah, well, that's the price of a cinema ticket in London, is the DVD.
Well, that's the thing, so that's another debate to be
yeah,
had. What have you been watching?
I have only watched one thing. Me and Jack tend to watch a lot of repeats, because by the time we put June to bed, and then we've done the tidying up, we've got an hour. And so that's why we end up watching a lot of Friends. And we've also been watching quite a lot of Maron, which is... Marc Maron, who's like the biggest American podcaster, he's got a show all about him and his dysfunctional life.
Is this the one you said you had a little bit of a soft spot for?
Liv.
Between me and you.
You know, he has a nice mustache.
He has a lovely personality.
And he also was, Marc Maron was in Almost Famous. I don't know if you are a massive, as much as an, you see, this is how you feel about Florence, is how I feel about Almost Famous. I saw that when I rented it from the VHS shop,
right.
When it first came out.
You win.
And there's a bit where they go, lock the gates! And then the tour bus kind of goes through the gates. And Mark, that was Marc Maron, and he actually uses that soundbite from the film on his podcast. But anyway, I've really gone off on one. They're all Netflix related, because Netflix is the quickest thing for me to log in using the Xbox remote, because if I go on 4OD or... iPlayer, I have to log on, and it's like left, left, left. Oh, too far. right, too far. And it's just really annoying. So anyway, this week I've watched The Letdown, which is a TV show about being a new mum, and it's based around the lead character, who's Audrey. It's set in Australia. And at first I was like, I'm not really sure about this. Celeste Barber, the Instagram, have you seen her on Instagram? She like...
I think I know who you mean.
Yeah, she, like, you know, Kim Kardashian does a wet t-shirt look, and then Celeste does her version. And she's in it as well. And the first episode just gave me a lot of anxiety. I just started panicking about being a new mum again. And I always think it's a bit strange because everybody's experience of being a new mum is different. So I don't really like to tell people, you know, what it's like. And also there's some situations where I'm like, that's a bit far-fetched, maybe, I don't know. But episode 2 or 3 really caught our attention because Jack wasn't really sure. And I was like, let's give it a whirl. And there's a bit where the husband, they've just had a really bad time with the baby and their sleep training, which actually we haven't done. I wasn't kind of relating to that. But he called the baby, who's called Stevie, by the way, which was our other name for June, but we didn't go for it in the end.
Is that Stevie? Is that Miss Nix?
Or Mr. Wonder, but Jack was into Stephen Gerrard and kept calling it Stevie G. Ruined it for himself.
Definitely.
But the baby, Stevie, who's a girl, finally had stopped crying, and the parents were laying on the bed, staring into space, which is my favourite activity as a parent. And then Stevie starts crying again, and the dad's like, that dickhead. And me and Jack just choked on our dinner because... We've been there. We've definitely referred to June as that, which sounds horrendous. But those early days as a new parent are like the highest of highs and the lowest of lows. And sometimes you need designating staring into space time, and the baby's just not playing game. So once we've kind of related to something, and I think people are like really raving about it, just think it's so relatable.
Oh, I'm tempted to watch it.
Yeah, I'd be interested to see whether you found some of the jokes funny, because some of them are quite niche to labour and things. I don't know.
It'd be interesting to see.
Yeah.
If it gives me like if it's an accurate representation.
Yeah, or just kind of makes you go, no, that.
Absolutely never.
That isn't, not for me. So, because I don't want
to. Especially after feeling very broody today, being around June for so long, my best mate.
Yeah, maybe you should. But then, I always think those things are difficult because you don't want to alienate people or kind of scare them, because it's not all horror. And sometimes I think those TV shows can, or articles, but it's really funny. Like there's a bit where she keeps getting breastfeeding advice from the local drug dealer. Like it's quite inappropriately funny. I really enjoyed it.
Is that Netflix?
Netflix, yeah.
I might download it for the way home.
You can download on Netflix.
Yes, you can, on Wi-Fi. So you download, and it sounds like it's sponsored by Netflix. It's not. You can just download it and then watch it.
Oh, I thought you could only do that on Channel 4.
Yeah, you've got to be on the internet, though.
Oh, I'm going to do that tomorrow for the airport.
Oh, you're in for a treat.
I'm so excited. So I haven't been watching anything else that's new anyway, but that I've really enjoyed. And it's 28 minutes episode, so I can get 2 in before bedtime, which I quite like.
Yeah, it's nice you can zoom through it.
Yeah, and then sometimes we push it to 3, but you know, that's like a 10:30 bedtime, and then you're in a whole world of trouble. I like to be in bed by 10.
Don't blame you.
What time do you like to be in bed?
Ideally 10:30. More often than not 11:30.
Oh yeah,
edging on for midnight. It just, yeah,
I remember when I was younger and I used to stay up till 1 and thought I was invincible.
I remember one of my late memories is when I was doing my A-level, my history, I had to do like a written piece, and I was up till 2 and I had to get up at 6, and I was just, I always think to myself now, I'm like, right, I can't, I'm capable. But
because you look back at that moment in time, you're like, I did it.
I did it, and I went to school the next day.
Oh, wow. Power on Purvis.
Yeah, power on Purvis. I like that. It's normally party Purvis, but power on I like.
Yeah, power on Purvis.
Oh, should we move on to shopping?
Oh, let's. What have you been buying this week, Liv?
Do you know what? I told you about the garden centre trip. So I did that, and then...
Was it spendy?
It was a little bit spendy.
Have you got... like a loyalty scheme at your local garden centre?
I haven't, but as my granddad's a gardener, he does get a bit of a cheeky discount.
Oh, does he?
Yeah,
like he's popular at the garden centre.
Yeah, which is very cool. So I did use that. The one thing I have bought this week, I say one thing, it's quite a spenny purchase, is I bought some fancy sunglasses.
Oh, did you commit?
I did commit. After talking about it last week, I touched on it and I did go ahead and bought them.
What pushed you over the edge?
Well, I had a Liberty voucher. Oh, transport out there. Sorry if you can hear that. Margate.
Margate's finest on their scooters.
Which is Margate, innit? Josh Margate. But
oh, so you had your Liberty voucher, and then because you were pretty close when we spoke.
Yeah,
last
and
time.
They turned out to be quite a lot cheaper than they were in Berlin. So I was like, go on.
How did it feel? Because I love waiting to make a big purchase.
Did it feel good? And she was like, oh, I don't know if you've got them. And then went to check, and then she did have them.
Oh, that's always good. That's always good because it's like, then you know how, you know, it's like that scene in Friends where Rachel does the pregnancy test and Phoebe goes, you're not pregnant, just to know how you really feel. I mean, I know that's not quite on the same scale, but
it is like, yeah, so I was really happy and they suit my face.
Yeah,
I think having a fringe does throw you off, as I mentioned last week.
Yeah, because with glasses, you've got to tuck the fringe in your glasses. It's really hard.
Well, that's the thing. So I'm really happy with those. And they were a bit of a fancy purchase, but that's it this week.
But you feel good about it.
Exactly. That and my merch.
Well, I think we should talk about the app as well that we've been looking at before this. It's not quite a purchase. I mean, I think you actually have to pay for it. So that is a purchase because we've both been using it. Oh. And how would you pronounce it? Gudak?
Gudak? I'd say Gudak, but I've just had my first roll of film developed.
It's Gudak. That's right, isn't it?
Oh, it's amazing.
So it's like a disposable. It's like a disposable camera. I don't know if I'm saying like for the sake of it. I'm confused. I've confused myself. But it's a disposable camera in an app form. And the great thing about it, because people have told me that there is another app where you can see your pictures straight away. But what's great about this one is you can't see them until you've completed the film, and then it takes 3 days to develop in the virtual world.
Good.
But I think I don't want to see them instantly with a filter on. That's not what it's about. It's about the 3 days processing that I really like.
Because it's like a nice surprise.
Yeah.
Like, I've just got my first roll developed.
Have you got some good pictures?
I've got some really good pictures, so I'll show you quickly. Hang on, I'll start from the beginning.
I think us going through your pictures on a podcast
is probably not the most.
Yeah, there are some nice pictures, though.
There's some really nice ones from last
week. Oh, they're lovely.
There's
a really nice one of Maggie.
And there's some nice one of me and my mate.
Yeah, they're lovely. Yeah, that's really nice. They're just going to keep showing me pictures that I can't share with you. But it's a really cool app. I really like it. I like the fact you can't see it. You can't take a selfie. I love a selfie, side note. And then it takes 3 days to develop. So I think it's a purchase, technically, and one we've both been enjoying.
And it feels like, and then you have to choose up the film. It's just so good.
Don't take a picture. She's got a new film, because this is what they do.
Yeah,
there we go.
On.
I just got snapped on Gudak. I need a hair wash. Thanks for that, Liv.
Oh, you're welcome.
Talking of purchases that you have to wait for to know if you really want, I bought my settee.
Da 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 da.
So the settee that I was talking about that I went to the British Art Foundation and it was sold. So I was walking home from the beach on Monday at about 7, thinking of ice cream. Jack wanted a Magnum and I wanted a Mars ice cream.
Oh, Mars.
But they are very hard to find in a single entity. You have to buy them in a 4-pack.
Oh, yeah, they're like, oh, do you know what? I got a big one, though, from the Co-op.
Did you?
She's a beast.
Well, I actually got a Magnum praline. I never know how to say that in the end. Wasn't as good as an almond or a classic, quite frankly. Stick to what you know. Anyway, was walking past the British Art Foundation and something caught my eye, and it was only my settee. Turns out, as I arrived at the British Art Foundation at 9:30, waiting for them to open the next day, the purchaser took it to their house. It didn't fit, so they got a refund and returned it. So it is now my settee, and it got delivered as me and Liv went out for lunch today. Jack and our very nice friends I had to wheel it up the Margate High Street and put it up two flights of stairs. So it's floral, and yeah, it was £140 for a sofa, two chairs and a buffet.
Not bloody bad.
Not bad at all. And it's very comfortable, isn't it?
Oh, it is so comfortable. But it's older than me, though.
It is. It was 1991 it was made, we saw on the tag. So it's a very mature settee.
And what have you got in your hands? Let's talk about
this. I'm excited. So these are nail decals, which I love nails. We've spoken about Shoreditch nails before, but it's there's a really cool shop on Etsy called Kim's Nailed It. And Kim, obviously, because that's her name, she sells nail decals. And the ones that I've got are palm leaf.
Palm leaves. Cheese plant.
And they're going to go on my nails. I think they're going to look really cool. I think I'm just going to do some clear.
I like those.
With a top coat. I'd just like to send out a little tip to the world that Sash V is the best top coat out there that there is.
Mm.
If you want to avoid pillow creases.
Oh, yeah, I know. I'm all too familiar with the pillow crease.
There's nothing worse than painting your nails. You can do it at like 5 p.m. and you still get pillow creases.
Not good enough.
Not with sesh feet. But Kim, because we know each other IRL, threw in a little surprise. Would you like to see it?
Would I just? Oh, my God.
So what Kim did was throw in some freebie nail decals, and there are two different sets, both of my daughter's face, who is one.
I feel that there needs to be an image accompanying this, because it is unbelievable.
So one of them, she's smiling, and she's got a red beret on with a pom-pom, and the other one, she's got the mardiest face with sunglasses on, and they can now go on my nail.
That is exceptional. Kim has nailed it.
Kim's totally nailed it. I think I might put one on my thumb for Dublin. June's with me at all times.
Stop, my heart.
But they're just hilarious. So she can actually make any custom nail decals, anything you like. So go to Etsy.com/shop/ Kim's nailed it, and get your dog, get your mum, get Liv, get me, get anybody on your nails. Oh.
I'm going to check her out. She sounds cool.
Yeah, but these ones of June, they're so crisp, aren't they?
They are picture perfect.
They're exceptional. So that's the two very bizarre things that I've purchased this week. Nail decals and finally a sofa.
I'm impressed by that selection.
No clothes, but that's okay.
Sometimes the best weeks involve little else than decals and sunglasses.
Shall we move on to this week's topic? So this week's topic is real life versus Instagram life.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Oh, it's a meaty one, but I'm excited.
So this topic actually was brought to us by a Fringe of It Facebook group member called Gabrielle Lander. Me and Liv have had a really big kind of brainstorming planning session today. And if you've got any topic suggestions, go to the pinned post in the Facebook group and leave it underneath. But Gabrielle gave us the topic, and then me and Liv kind of padded it out about what we wanted to talk about. And we wanted to like lift the lid on Instagram. I don't know, it's a bit murky, those waters, I think.
It's a really weird one, isn't it? Because it's the app that we all love to hate. And I feel like I have moments where I'm completely infatuated with it and times where I'm just like, oh, it's awful, everyone's putting on this whole act and it's a real highlights reel and I feel like everyone's got it together and I haven't. And it's a really funny one. And I think there's a lot of little mysteries that we could debunk.
Yeah, and I think people are like, oh, Instagram's your job. Like, that's easy. Or, you know, I don't know. And I think it's quite interesting to know how people or brands work with people and, you know, the kind of the right ways and the wrong ways. And also to, like, me and Liv have, I think, quite a similar opinion on what our responsibility is as well. Yeah. As people that get paid to produce Instagram content, you know, what our personal feelings are about it. So I think, should we go back to the beginning of like when you first started using Instagram?
Yeah, so I think I started it when I was studying my photography A-level. And
oh, yeah.
It was...
Sorry, just that's so photography A-level.
I know, it really is. And it was when... Do you remember Hipstamatic?
Oh, yeah, loved Hipstamatic.
Yeah, so it's almost before... I suppose it kind of ran parallel, but you'd kind of use it to create new age photos with a vintage feel.
Mm-hmm. Just like the app we've been talking about.
Yeah, so literally
such parody of ourselves.
I know, we really are. But I used that and then I'd upload to Instagram and I thought it was really cool and arty and it was very candid. A lot of them had a big sepia filter over them. oofed.
Really enjoyed that.
Oh,
my first pictures that are horrendous, but I've been using it for like 5 or 6 years now. I think, can you remember your first paid Instagram? I don't know if I can remember exactly what it is. What's interesting about doing it for a business is, like, for me, I never started off doing Instagram. It was like a way of promoting my business.
Yeah, it's weird. I think I very much used it on a personal level.
Yeah.
And it is still, I'm really, really adamant that I maintain it for a personal level as well. Like, I never want it to become the live show. I use it and I never want to look at my feed and be like, oh, jeez, that's a lot of me.
Yeah, and calm yourself down.
That's the thing. It works for a lot of people and, you know, but that's by no means any shade at anyone that does use it for that reason. But I feel like I still want to maintain the reason why I started using it, which isn't always the most profitable way of using it, because I think a lot of people do use it as, you know, a lucrative money earner because they can sell on it and be like sales assistants on it. But I feel like I still really want to maintain the element of sharing things I like, even if I know they're not going to, I don't know, match my grid or...
Yeah, I think as well, you know, I guess if you actually divided the amount of money that you earn from a sponsored Instagram across your monthly or yearly Instagrams, actually it wouldn't be a lot. But I think for me, I love to share like small brands. Small brands are one of my favourite things because I think it's really nice to kind of get a message from somebody and say, well, thanks for featuring that. You know, I got a lot of sales, I got a lot of new followers. And that's what I really like doing because I'm just excited
to
share.
It's like the shining light theory again, isn't it? Where you're kind of spreading that kind of social reach and sharing it. And that's why I use it, because I love discovering people and brands and cool cafes and experiences and almost using it as a resource to really capture the cool things that are going on around me.
Yeah, and I think we were talking about this. Again, we're not like having a go at anybody, but for us, I keep saying us, but just because we had a discussion a bit when we were deciding whether we were going to talk about this, and I think we kind of have a responsibility as Instagrammers or people that use Instagram to, you know, because we do make money out of it, is that we have a responsibility to show behind the scenes of the real life.
Yeah, and it's almost maintaining that balance, I think, because it's tricky, isn't it? Because you want to be very real and honest, but in the same breath, we're so privileged to be doing this as a career that you don't ever want to be whinging about it either.
Yeah.
And almost overkilling it. And that's something I'm quite conscious of, I think, online, because there's a big difference between having a moan to your friend about something trivial and sharing it to a large audience in which someone could take it and then think, oh, well, that would be really cool if that was me. Or like just flip it on their head and think, oh, you're lucky to even be in that position.
I actually deleted something off Instagram the other day because I actually had a word with myself and thought, why? I might have said it to a friend, I might have said it to my boyfriend, but I thought to share that with the amount of followers that you've got, that's actually quite irresponsible. And I just said, oh, because I'd been doing something really fancy. I can't remember. Oh, we'd been on that press trip and we'd been on that. And then the next thing, you know, I'm cleaning the kitchen. And I just said, oh, I wish my life was a bit less of a pendulum going from really glamorous things to really mundane things. And I put it up and it was nagging in the back of my brain. And I thought, are you serious? Like, you get to do amazing things. Like, some people, you know, they're just cleaning the kitchen and just check yourself. So I actually deleted it. And I think that's what we're talking about when we say we have a responsibility.
Like, I think, carry on. I think it's just being aware of that as well. And I think naturally that kind of comes into play, the kind of person you are as well. Naturally, you're not the kind of person that like bragging or gloating. Like, you're enjoying these experiences as anyone would want to document them. You're not coming at it from a point of view where you're like, look what I'm doing. But I do think it is that thing where you are recognising how cool that is to be doing those things and not, I don't know, I think some people on Instagram can forget what the norm is. And I know normal is a really funny word to use because everyone's normal is so different.
Yeah, but kind of forget, we were talking about travel and, you know, is travel becoming something you see on Instagram? You're like, oh, that person's in Marrakesh, that person's in India, that person's in LA, you know, normal again, but you know, I can't afford that many holidays a year, and you know, some are complimentary and that kind of thing. And that's where you, I think there has to be a kind of thought for,
of course there does, and it comes with so many pressures, I think, as well, to kind of, you know, what I thought about recently, I had a meeting and we were talking about Instagram as like a highlights reel and how we're so prone to looking at what other people have done on the app and looking at other people's highlights reels and going, oh, well, I wish I was doing that. But actually, sometimes the best thing to do on it is look at your own feed and then acknowledge all the cool stuff you've done.
Mm.
And actually going through your own successes are literally there in front of you, but we're so quick to look at other people's.
But I think because you're looking at so many different people's, like you know, especially when you flick through stories, you've just been on 30 different lives.
Well, that's
like
the
you
thing.
Can't live 30 lives in a day or a week
and
or
it's
a month.
So intense. But then, and we're all doing it to each other. I said this to someone else as well, like we were talking about the bank holiday, and it's that thing where you might look at someone who's in London for the day, for example, think, oh, I should have been making more of my day. Mm. And then you look at someone else who's in the garden, you think, oh god, I should be in the garden relaxing.
Mm.
And then you're suddenly thinking, I need to be doing all those things to be happy. And it kind of, you get really wrapped up in it. And I think that's where the responsibility comes into play, in it's almost being able to recognise that everyone's lives are so vastly different.
Yeah.
And you can't do it all.
I think captions are really good, because I've spoken recently, been ranting about renting. Me and Liv are going to do a podcast about renting and buying, because we've both done both sides of it. But, you know, I'm having a few problems renting and guarantors. And I went on Instagram stories and I just went for it, basically. Not that I was ranting, but I just thought it was really important to share. And then I had another situation, a cash flow issue. Like, basically, I had about £4 in my bank account, and I'm owed quite a lot of money, but it's not even out like overdue, it's just long payment terms, and I had no money. And I just thought, because Instagram, as somebody pointed out, I wish I could reference this person, but thank you for your comment, and they just said, thank you for sharing that, because Instagram feels like an endless pit of money and slogan t-shirts.
Oh yeah, I died
when I read that.
It's so true.
But it does. And I don't, you know, again, I like to make sure that people see me wearing the same clothes. Like, obviously, we both like to buy new, but I don't want people thinking that I constantly have a new outfit, or, you know, because that's not sustainable for the environment or for my bank account or for people's mental health.
Exactly. And that's the thing. And I think it is being able to, like, acknowledge that. Another thing I always feel like I'm quite open on stories. I think I'm quite a chatterbox.
Yeah.
But I do tend to kind of, I'm not overly open. I'm not like, I don't do real like deep, like meaningful chats all the time. But the other day, I think I was having a particularly stressful day, and I did talk about it on stories, and the response from people saying, like, that's really cool, you really opened up. And I was kind of, I didn't want to be that. I thought it would go the other way.
Because there is a really fine balance between complaining, but actually just letting people know that, you know, they may go on your grid and think, oh, well, what the hell has she got to worry about?
Well, this is the thing, and I think it's striking that balance between saying, yeah, things are stressful, but, like, I'm being open, but I'm not complaining either. Like, it's kind of putting a positive spin on things as well and saying, well, this is how I'm going to deal with it, and this is how I'm feeling fortunate or looking forward to other things or taking time out. And it's being open in a way that I think is still quite recognisable for lots of people.
Yeah, I think it's a really fine line. We need to talk about as well, like, how many shots it takes to get the perfect Instagram.
Ugh.
I often do a screen grab of my camera roll when I take a picture, and I often upload that to stories so people can see quite exactly how many pictures I take for Instagram.
And I think we're in a place on Instagram as well where things are either so composed and so built up of a really theatrical, big, like, performance where it's all singing, all dancing, all editing, or it's the perfectly candid shot. Like, oh, I didn't realise you were taking that.
You there!
Yeah, but that's it. Like, there's a gorgeous picture of people eating, I don't know, like, plates of pasta and looking really beautiful.
Yeah.
And
if you see me eat spaghetti bolognese, it ain't that.
But
attractive.
That's the thing, it's that kind of candid shot that's, like, almost editorial in the fact that it's like, oh, sorry, I didn't realise I was having my photo taken. Oh, bashful look. But it's that weird middle ground that people are like, oh, I'll try and get a candid shot. And at the weekend on the bank holiday, I tried doing a nice candid shot.
Oh, it takes so much effort.
And I was like, I look nor candid nor nice in any of these.
Please close your mouth while you
I looked very sweaty. And it was just like, but everyone makes it look so easy. And I didn't end up taking a picture. I was like, forget
Sometimes
it.
Sometimes it's just better just to put your phone away. Because sometimes getting the perfect shot, because you...
it ruins the moment because you're so obsessed with getting the one shot to summarise a moment.
Just, and then actually, I did it a lot over the bank holiday weekend, just put my phone away and was like, I'm not getting any pictures, but I don't care because I'm having such a nice time. But there's a one of my favourite people on Instagram is Alison Sadler. I think she's underscore Alison with two L's underscore Sadler underscore, I think. You'll find her if you go through my profile. And she does this thing called Free Up My Insta. And you can join in, but all not. Because there's 14 days worth of prompts, but she's like, you know, there are no rules. And the idea is, because what she said is that you can, you know, I've spoken about it before, unhooking from praise and criticism. If you put up something quite personal, like a picture of yourself or, you know, a picture of your baby or your dog, and it doesn't do very well for whatever reason, algorithm related, or, it's, you know, people just aren't into it, you take that personally and you're thinking, oh, they hate me. And, it, you know, when did we get so into that? But she does this thing and it has different prompts each day. And the idea is that you just, like, capture things like we used to and just upload them whenever you want. And it doesn't matter how well it does.
And that's the thing. And I feel like I feel really quite conscious about it, 'cause especially with fashion blogging, I think people are so focused on having a brand image and being so refined and themed that you forget to share the candid moments. Like, I went to, I went to Florence, did you know?
Oh, did you? You've
yeah,
mentioned
no,
it.
I didn't think
oh,
so.
I enjoyed it.
It was really good.
Yeah.
Thanks. I put a picture of her on my Instagram feed, and typically it's all the things I probably wouldn't upload because, you know, it's a bit dark for the grin. It's like, it doesn't fit in. But then I was like, I'm really passionate about live music and this is everything that I'm really into. Why would I not share it?
Yeah.
And it's those weird things you get into your head. That I'm like, oh, should I be sharing this? Is it on brand? Are people going to like this? And I'm like, what?
It's
if I'm
Instagram.
Into it,
you close the app and it doesn't matter.
And I understand why people do it from a business point of view where they want to kind of, but I'm not a brand profile. I'm not like Topshop or like anything. I'm me.
Yeah.
And I have lots of different sides to me other than just my face. I have interests outside of fashion and I'm a multi-dimensional person. But that sounds really, really pretentious.
You are 3G, baby.
I am so multi-dimensional. I'm glad I clarified how pretentious that sounded before I carried on. but it's just recognising that you don't have to be on this total, I don't know, all-consuming theme, because brands don't get it right either.
Yeah, I just think we need to remember it's an app. I love it for everything that it brings me. It brings me new people, new connections, new brands. Like, I use it like a travel guide. I think it's amazing, but I don't know. I think the topic real life versus Instagram life, it is Instagram life. It's not real life.
Yeah.
Like, on the way here, well, not the way here, but this morning, me and Jack were moving the old sofa so the new sofa could come in. We smashed a hanging plant that, on its way down, broke a bowl of eggs, and there were soil, leaves, broken eggs everywhere. Ooh. That's real life.
Yeah.
Like, it's not Instagram life. And if I'm... You know, we've spoken about anxiety before, but that I can sit on Instagram and scroll. And as soon as I close the app, oh, there's real life again.
Yeah, it's so true. And I do think it's being able to differentiate the two and, you know, not put all your eggs in one basket.
Because I will come along and smash them.
Well, exactly. And that, but especially you're doing it as a career, I think it's so important to have different things going on. Yeah. Like, I've got the blog and YouTube and this and...
Well, I am, when I do social media workshops and things, I always, Seth Godin said you can't build your... No, I don't think Seth Godin did say this. Sorry, I can't remember the source of the quote. I'm a liar. But he said you can't build your property on borrowed land. And, you know, Instagram could change all of its rules and regulations tomorrow and... You know, but you need to like have all these other things. If Instagram went tomorrow, I think I'd read more books.
That's quite an interesting thought, isn't it? What would you do if you couldn't be on Instagram? And when you see how much time you spend on the app, that's how much time you could have doing something else.
So oh.
I want to take up drawing again.
Oh, do you like to draw?
I love drawing. I did art at A-level.
Maybe we should challenge ourselves this week and see, do a little Instagram... Every time we feel the urge, let's see if we can do something else.
I would like to draw this week. What will you be doing?
I want to read. Okay. I've only read a couple of books.
Next time we reconvene, I want a book out of you. It can be a short book.
I'm not writing a book.
No.
I want a book out of you.
I want you to have read a short book and draw you a nice picture.
Handshake, sweaty
for
one.
Next, ooh, clammy.
Oh, yeah, very clammy. Great. Let's leave that question there. What would you do if Instagram disappeared tomorrow?
I know. I want to know, what hobbies would you take up again? What has Instagram taken over that you would like to reclaim?
One of us. We'll put that on the Facebook group, which is www.facebook.com/ groups/thefringeofit. You can find us on Twitter now. We're not so active on there. We can only manage so many things at once. But...
although we did retweet a very funny Iggy Pop fringe cutting scenario, which is definitely worth following, if not just for that.
Yeah, so occasionally we retweet memes. So on Twitter, we are The Fringe of It, and... yeah, that's about
I
it.
Think that's it. I hope you enjoyed today. I wish we could have spoken for longer. I feel like it's quite a meaty one. Maybe we can pick this up and have a part two another time.
Maybe. But if you want to suggest a topic on the pinned post, pop it on there. Also, if you'd like to review or rate us, it helps other people find us. As we've said before, in short, hopefully, potential more friends for you.
Exactly. Anyway, have a wonderful week and we'll see you next time.
Goodbye.
Bye.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.